Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Thursday, April 25th, 2019. Coming up this hour,
Deutsche Bank and Commerzbank call off merger talks.
Bank earnings out of Europe point to a rebound.
Shares of Facebook surge on another quarter of strong growth.
And global stocks slip, the dollar strengthens and treasuries steady.
Former Vice President Biden makes it official today in his run for the White House, plus defiance from the Trump administration over congressional subpoenas. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stashower, and sports make it 6 wins in a row for the Yankees, a comeback win over the Angels. Mets shut out by the Phillies. First round of the NFL draft tonight. Jets pick third, Giants sixth.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
And good morning. I'm Karen Moscow.
I'm Nathan Hager. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by Interactive Brokers, rated number one best online broker in 2019 by Barron's. Find out why. Visit IBKR.com/YIB to learn more.
And U.S. futures are little change this morning while stocks in Europe slide. It is 6:01 on Wall Street. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures are little change. Dow futures down 16. NASDAQ futures up 9. The DAX in Germany is little change. 10-year Treasury down 2/32. Yield 2.52%. Yield on the 2-year 2.31%. NYMEX crude oil up 0.4% or 28 cents to $66.18 a barrel. COMEX gold little change down 50 cents at $12.78.90 an ounce. The euro at 1.1136 against the dollar and the yen at 111.90. Nathan.
All right, Karen, thank you. We begin with M&A news. Word that talks between Deutsche Bank and Commerzbank have collapsed. Bloomberg's Ewan Potts joins us live from London with the very latest. Good morning, Ewan.
Good morning, Nathan and Karen. Deutsche Bank and Commerzbank have ended their plans for a merger. Germany's two biggest banks have been in talks since the middle of March, but now that's off. It was a tie-up that had faced massive opposition from unions, politicians and key shareholders. In a statement, Deutsche says integrating the two banks would have been just too difficult to execute. They also cited concern over restructuring costs and additional capital requirements. Meanwhile, we've also had numbers today from Deutsche Bank. It sees first quarter total net revenue of about 6.4 billion euros. That's broadly in line with estimates. And first quarter pre-tax income coming in at 290 million euros. That was a beat. Live in London, I'm Ewan Potts, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Ewan, thank you. Turning to more bank earnings out of Europe now, inflows at UBS got a boost from wealthy clients who added $22 billion of new money to the Swiss bank. CEO Sergio Ermotti spoke with the Bloomberg following the results.
Market conditions and most importantly, investor sentiments changed for the good, both in absolute and also relative to last year. So we had a very strong finish of the quarter, which is now coming a little bit into April as well.
Rich Asians came to the rescue for UBS, with clients in the region accounting for almost three quarters of inflow. Shares of UBS are up about 1% in Zurich.
In the UK, Barclays trading business outperformed its peers, with first quarter income falling less than expected. Revenue from fixed income, currencies and commodities rose, while equities income tumbled 20%. CEO Jess Staley.
You saw it lighten up in the U.S. in part because of the government shutdown and the SEC being offline for a period of time. But also things like Brexit, I think, have very much subdued major boardroom activity in the UK and across Europe. But despite that, I think we did quite well in our markets business.
Right now, shares of Barclays are down more than 2% in London.
Elsewhere in Europe, we have word that Royal Bank of Scotland CEO Ross McEwan is resigning. McEwan says he's leaving the state-backed lender in 12 months' time. Shares of RBS are down 2%.
In Asia today, stocks edged lower following a surprise contraction in South Korea GDP and new guidance from the Bank of Japan. Bloomberg's Juliet Sally joins us from Singapore with details. Good morning, Juliet.
Good morning, Nathan and Karen. Well, a slowdown in investments saw South Korea's economy shrink the most since 2008. That sent the KOSPI down 0.5% in Seoul, while the won slid to its weakest level since March 2017. Elsewhere, the BOJ left its policy stimulus unchanged as expected, but adjusted its forward guidance, which saw 10-year bond futures in Japan spike. The central bank has pledged to keep rates ultra-low into 2020 and said it's considering a facility to lend ETFs it holds to investors. In Singapore, I'm Juliet Sali, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Julia, thank you. And in China today, stocks sank the most in 6 weeks as concerns deepen about the government scaling back stimulus. The Shanghai Composite Index slumped 2.4%, taking its loss this week to 4.5%. If that holds tomorrow, it would be the worst weekly performance this year.
In Japan, profit at Nomura Holdings plunged in the fourth quarter. Japan's biggest brokerage barely posted a profit, with net income of just $7.5 million.
Nokia is leading losses on Europe's Stoxx 600. The wireless equipment maker reported an unexpected quarterly loss that has shares down 9%.
Shares of Bayer are up 3.3% in Frankfurt. The company's agriculture unit posted a 5% jump in first quarter sales on the strength of results from Monsanto. Still, legal concerns over its Roundup weed killer are piling up. Lawsuits now number more than 13,000.
Shares of Facebook are surging, up more than 8% in early trading. The company posted strong quarterly sales growth despite setting aside $3 billion for legal costs. Emily Chang is more from our Bloomberg 960 newsroom in San Francisco.
Facebook is preparing for a fine of up to $5 billion from the U.S. Federal Trade Commission over alleged privacy violations. Sales growth continues to come from Instagram and advertising in its Stories feature. It's also hoping for a boost next quarter with its new e-commerce product called Checkout. In San Francisco, I'm Emily Chang, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Emily, shares of Microsoft are gaining too, up more than 4% in early trading. The company's cloud computing business fueled quarterly sales and profit that topped estimates.
Shares of Tesla, meanwhile, are falling after the company posted a first quarter loss, more than double the average analyst estimate. Bloomberg's John Tucker joins us live with the details. Good morning, John.
Karen, a record drop in deliveries combined with the company's largest ever debt payment depleted cash to the lowest level in 3 years. Tesla reported an adjusted loss of $2.90 a share. And Chief Executive Officer Elon Musk is now reopening the door to returning to the capital markets for a cash infusion after earlier saying Tesla was done losing money. Right now, shares in the pre-market down just about 0.5% in early trading. John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, John, thank you. Right now, S&P futures are a little changed. Dow futures down 16, NASDAQ futures up about 9, and the 10-year Treasury down 2/32, yield 2.52%. Straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news, and this is Bloomberg.
All right, thank you, Karen. It's 6:07 on Wall Street. Time to check the latest world and national news with Bloomberg's Michael Barr. Michael, I understand you have an announcement to pass along.
That is correct. Joe Biden has made it official today. The former vice president just released a video launching his White House campaign. Bloomberg's Bob Moon reports.
He's already been aiming to lay a claim to working class voters who helped elect Donald Trump, Biden addressing union workers in Boston last week.
Wall Street bankers and CEOs did not build America. You built America.
He is said to plan a kickoff rally in front of a union crowd Monday in Pittsburgh. It's a state where he grew up, but also a state Trump won in 2016. The president has suggested he's not worried about Biden.
I think he's only a threat to himself.
One of the biggest issues Biden's had to address so far, some women who complained he got too cozy with unwanted kisses and hugs.
I've never been disrespectful intentionally.
At 78, he'd be the oldest ever elected president. Bob Moon, Bloomberg Daybreak.
The Trump administration escalated its defiance of Congress, vowing to fight all subpoenas. President Trump's attorney, Rudy Giuliani, spoke to ABC.
I mean, you can only go so far in harassing the president without violating the Constitution. They have gone way past that line.
Former aide to New Jersey's then-Governor Chris Christie, Bridget Kelly, was sentenced to 13 months in jail for her role in Bridgegate, the 2013 shutting down of the George Washington Bridge. It was allegedly done to punish the mayor of Fort Lee, New Jersey, for failing to support Christie's reelection bid. Outside of the courthouse, Kelly called out Christie and said his day will come.
Mr. Christie, you are a bully, and the days of you calling me a liar and destroying my life are over.
Kelly and co-defendant Bill Baroni were convicted in the scandal. New Jersey Governor Phil Murphy said he has a conceptual understanding with New York on a break for toll-paying drivers from New Jersey if Manhattan congestion pricing comes to pass. Murphy said the understanding from talks last week with New York Governor Andrew Cuomo was that New Jersey commuters will be treated equally at all Hudson River crossings. Murphy said earlier drivers from Jersey were being double taxed by the congestion toll. However, an MTA spokesman says there is no deal on credits, exemptions, or carve-outs because the MTA will determine the tolls once the studies are completed. New York Mayor Bill de Blasio wants to introduce a bill to ban glass and steel skyscrapers in New York City, saying they contribute to global warming. Global News 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok, on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
All right, Michael, thank you. 6:09 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update with John Stashower.
Nathan, when spring training began, the feeling was the Yankees had too many Major League caliber outfielders. Five of them are now on the injured list. Clint Frazier, latest to go on, plus Giancarlo Stanton's return has been pushed back. But they keep winning with a lineup that resembles what you'd expect from their minor league team in Scranton. Despite trailing the Angels 5-0, Yanks battled back, scored ninth inning and won 6-5. DJ LeMahieu drove in the go-ahead run. He had 2 hits, 3 RBI. CC Sabathia gave up 3 home runs. He had 3 strikeouts, so needs 3 more for 3,000. Jonathan Loaisiga with 3 innings of relief for the win. The Yanks have won 6 in a row. Mets shut out for just the second time. The Phillies led 1-0 in the 8th inning, went on to win 6-0. The two teams now tied for first. NBA playoffs, Houston advanced past Utah, but not so fast for Golden State, beaten by the Clippers, so it's now 3-2 Warriors going back to L.A. Another upset, Stanley Cup playoffs, Washington led game 7, 2-0, and 3-1. Back came Carolina, and in double overtime.
Wilson couldn't get his stick on the puck. Hurricanes keep it alive. Williams towards the net, score! The Carolina Hurricanes win game 7.
The call, the Brock McGinn goal. So the Islanders, who haven't played in 10 days, finally know their opponent in round 2. They'll host Carolina, game 1 tomorrow in Brooklyn. Tonight in Nashville, first round of the NFL draft, the Jets for the second straight year have the 3rd pick, looking for defense if they don't trade down. The Giants, who picked 2nd last year, this time go 6th and 17th. And the big question is, will they take a quarterback? Arizona with the 1st pick, expected to take quarterback Kyler Murray. With the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. Nathan.
And John, Tiger's coming to Asia. The Masters champion Tiger Woods is adding to his international travels at the end of the year. He says he'll compete in Japan for the first time in 13 years at the new Zozo Championship in late October. Woods is also the U.S. captain for the President's Cup. It's going to be held at Royal Melbourne in Australia in December. S&P futures up 0.5 point. Dow futures down 19 points. You are listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. It's coming up to 6:12 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by National Realty, NRIA, developers of high-return income-producing properties for investor partners. See them at NRIA.net.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. It is 6:17 on Wall Street, and Bloomberg Daybreak is out on customer terminals, bringing you all the news you need to start your day. Let's get a check of the latest headlines with Hannah George at the Bloomberg Daybreak desk. Good morning, Hannah.
Good morning, Karen. Talks between Commerzbank and Deutsche Bank are over. The German lenders ended merger discussions, saying a combination wouldn't create sufficient benefits to offset execution risk. Facebook reported better-than-expected earnings. The company also signaled it may be close to resolving a privacy investigation with the FTC. Tesla reopened the door to a capital raise after posting a bigger-than-expected loss for the 1st quarter. A record drop in deliveries, combined with its largest-ever debt payment, depleted cash to the lowest level in 3 years. And Larry Kudlow says Stephen Moore will soon be nominated to the Fed, pending a background check. The White House economic advisor says Moore could bring a breath of fresh air to the central bank. For the news you need to start your day, check out Daybreak on your mobile phone on the Bloomberg Anywhere app. Karen.
All right, Hannah, thank you. Right now, S&P futures are little changed. Dow futures are down 8. Nasdaq futures up 10. The DAX in Germany, little changed. 10-year Treasury down 2/32. The yield at 2.52%. Yield on the 2-year, 2.30%. NYMEX crude oil up 0.5% or 32 cents to $66.21 a barrel. COMEX gold little changed at $12.79.50 an ounce. The euro at 1.1139 against the dollar. The yen 111.86. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, former Vice President Joe Biden has officially thrown his hat in the ring for the White House. Biden released a video just a few minutes ago officially announcing his run. Russian President Vladimir Putin and North Korean leader Kim Jong-un say they have had fruitful talks about how to defuse a standoff over Pyongyang's nuclear program. The leaders spoke after their one-on-one meeting. In baseball, the Yankees won. The Mets lost along with the Nationals. The Red Sox won along with the Orioles, A's, and Giants. In the NHL playoffs, the Capitals lost a Game 7 double overtime thriller against the Hurricanes. Carolina now faces the Islanders on Friday. The Bruins play the Blue Jackets in game one of their series tonight. NBA playoffs, the Warriors lost to the Clippers last night, but still lead the series 3-2. Tonight is the first round of the NFL draft in Nashville. The Cardinals have the overall first pick, the Jets a third, the Giants a sixth, and 17th. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg.
Bloomberg Intelligence. Valuable industry data and analysis from independent experts, giving trading and investment professionals insight into where crucial industries stand today and where they may be heading next.
6:20 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. Good morning, I'm John Tucker. Tesla posting a bigger-than-expected loss for the first quarter. Joining us this morning to walk us through the results, Kevin Tynan, a senior analyst with Bloomberg Intelligence. Kevin, good morning to you again. Is there enough demand for Teslas?
Well, it seems to be the issue here in the United States. I think some of the overseas markets, Europe and China, there will be, I mean, ideally there's, you could argue, 7 years of pent-up demand in those countries and regions, just because from the time Model S came out till they really start ramping deliveries now, I think you're going to see a nice trajectory of growth in deliveries there to sort of satisfy that demand that hasn't been filled yet.
Okay, so maybe China to the rescue for Tesla.
Yeah, I think so. And honestly, I think when you look at the sort of step down of the federal tax credit for EVs here that hit them sort of on January 1st, which gets halved again on July 1st, moving to increased deliveries in those other countries and those other regions is exactly the right thing to do and the right time to do it.
Okay, what does the balance sheet look like? The $2.2 billion in cash equivalents, not bad, but when you look at the expenditures, that doesn't quite add up, does it?
Right, and I think that the big drop in demand, arguably, if that's, you know, if that's sort of organic and that you can't expect this growth rate that we've seen up to this point, especially in the United States, you know, then that makes the balance sheet look even weaker because there are a lot of things to do still, right? Expansion into these other regions. We had the Autonomous Investor Day the other day, which is obviously, you know, big expenditures, big investment in that technology going forward. And then you still have to sort of be a growing automaker in your spare time.
I'm having a little trouble figuring out the retail strategy at this point and the pricing. What is it?
Yeah, that's really interesting. You know, and I think for me, John, that really sort of speaks to this demand concern. You know, and Model S and Model X are a good example. You know, 12,000 units in the first quarter, which is the lowest since 2015 for those two combined. And they had discontinued the standard range model. Now that's back, which sort of tells me that they're, you know, trying to sort of move down market and get lower price points and get people involved in those vehicles again. And especially as you have this tax credit going from $3,750 in the United States down to $1,875 on July 1st. So, you know, the idea that they're going to do over 100,000 units per quarter for the balance of 2019 when the most they've ever done is in the 90s, that's a tall task in terms of a forecast for deliveries.
Okay. Is there appetite on Wall Street? Can they go back to the capital markets without much of a problem?
I think they can because of that sort of global expansion. So, you know, I think the bigger worry is that when you see what the stock has done year to date and the idea that there's demand issues, you just start to worry about when this is not a stock that perpetually increases in terms of its valuation. And when some of those bigger investors start to, you know, question the outlook going forward.
Okay, Bloomberg's Kevin Tynan. Appreciate it. As always, Kevin, our senior analyst with automobiles for Bloomberg Intelligence. And as we look at shares of Tesla in the pre-market, They're down about 0.5%. Again, Tesla posting a bigger than expected loss for the first quarter. Record drop in deliveries that combined with the company's largest ever debt payment. It depleted cash to the lowest level in about 3 years. Ahead of the market open on Wall Street, S&P futures right now pretty much dead flat. And you are listening to Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thanks, John. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by Mercedes-Benz of Greenwich. They can help lower your lease payment. Ask about their multiple security deposit program to lower new car lease payments or drive retired loaner cars that qualify for lease and finance incentives. MercedesBenzGreenwich.com.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130 to Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 991 to Boston. Bloomberg 1061 to San Francisco. Bloomberg 960 to the country. Sirius XM Channel 119 and around the globe. The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
It's 6:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We are just about 3 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. Talks between Commerzbank and Deutsche Bank are over. The German lenders concluded that a combination would not create sufficient benefits to offset execution risks, restructuring costs, and capital requirements associated with such a large-scale integration. Shares of Deutsche Bank, which were up almost 5% earlier, are now little changed. Commerzbank is down more than 2.5%.
As for European banking earnings news, inflows at UBS were boosted by wealthy clients who added $22 billion of new money to the Swiss bank. CEO Sergio Ermotti says a boost in investor sentiment helped improve results.
We saw volumes coming back and conviction coming back on the IB side and people taking a little bit more risk on their asset allocation.
UBS shares are up almost 1% this morning.
Barclays shares down 2%. Analysts say first quarter results were a mixed bag with its overall revenue hit by a weak performance in its UK business.
Royal Bank of Scotland Group is looking for a new CEO. Ross McEwan will leave the state-backed lender within a year. Shares are down 2.25%.
In the U.S., we get earnings from more than five dozen companies in the S&P 500, and headlining that list, Amazon, Intel, and Ford.
Shares of Facebook are up more than 8.5%. The social media company posted robust quarterly sales growth and signaled it may be close to resolving a U.S. privacy investigation.
Microsoft shares up 4% to a record high. The company's cloud computing business fueled quarterly sales and profit that topped estimates.
Well, shares of Tesla are down in early trading after the electric car maker posted a bigger than projected loss in the first quarter. Bloomberg's John Tucker joins us live with details. John.
Tesla reported an adjusted loss of $2.90 a share for the first quarter, missing analysts' average estimate for a loss of $1.30. And the CEO, Elon Musk, also reset expectations for future cash flow after earlier saying the company was done losing money. Musk is also raising the possibility Tesla may have to return to the capital markets to raise cash. John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
And John, thank you. We are watching some headlines cross from 3M. It's announcing a company realignment from 5 to 4 business groups. It says it expects a reduction of about 2,000 positions worldwide. It also cut its forecast, and we'll be watching those shares today as well. S&P futures are little changed. Dow futures down 75. NASDAQ futures up 14. The 10-year Treasury down 2/32, yield 2.52%, and the yield on the 2 years at 2.30%. The euro at 1.1136 against the dollar. And straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. And this is Bloomberg.
Thanks, Karen. 6:33 on Wall Street. Should mention 3M shares are down 8% now in early trading. We'll continue to follow those shares through the morning. First, let's get the latest world and national news from Bloomberg's Michael Barr.
Thank you very much, Nathan. Joe Biden has made it official today. The former vice president released a video launching his White House campaign this morning.
Folks, America's an idea. An idea that's stronger than any army, bigger than any ocean, more powerful than any dictator or tyrant. It gives hope to the most desperate people on earth. It guarantees that everyone is treated with dignity and gives hate no safe harbor.
Biden, if he won the White House, would be 78 years old, the oldest ever elected president. President Trump's attorney says the Democrats can only go so far in harassing the president without violating the Constitution.
Two FBI investigations, one 7 months, the other one 17 months, that came to the conclusion, no collusion, and we can't conclude that he committed obstruction of justice.
Rudy Giuliani's comments to ABC come as the Trump administration escalated its defiance of Congress, vowing to fight all subpoenas. President Trump is said to have backed a Libya strongman's attack on Tripoli. Bloomberg's Ed Baxter has the story.
The president indicated in a phone call with Libyan strongman Khalifa Haftar last week, according to Bloomberg sources, that the U.S. supported an assault on the country's capital to depose its United Nations-backed government. And an earlier call from the White House National Security Advisor John Bolton, according to three diplomats, also left Haftar with the impression of a U.S. green light for an offensive on Tripoli by his forces known as the Libyan National Army. The White House has issued a statement that said Trump discussed ongoing counterterrorism efforts and recognized Field Marshal Haftar's significant role in fighting terrorism and in securing Libya's oil resources. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
New Jersey Governor Phil Murphy says the state and New York Governor Andrew Cuomo have a preliminary deal where drivers will get a break on tolls from Jersey toward Manhattan congestion pricing at the three Hudson River crossings. Murphy originally was critical of the congestion toll, saying it was a double tax on Jersey commuters. However, the MTA says there is no deal on credits, exemptions, or carve-outs because the MTA will determine the tolls once the studies are completed. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Much appreciated, Michael. 6:35 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. Here's John Stashower.
Nathan, somehow, despite all the injuries, the Yankees keep winning. On a night where they didn't get a hit until the fifth inning, didn't score until the sixth when they trailed 5-0, they tied the game in the seventh, scoring three runs and only one hit. And then in the ninth, with two outs and no one on, Tyler Wade singled, stole second, scored on a DJ LeMahieu hit. The Yanks made it 6 wins in a row, 6-5 over the Angels. Jonathan Loaisiga, 3 innings of relief, got the win. Just as Gary Sanchez came off the injured list, Clint Frazier went on, so still 13 players on the IL, including 5 outfielders. Met bats were quiet, only 6 singles and a 6-0 loss to the Phillies. We're back tied for first with the Mets. Much anticipated second-round NBA playoff series between Golden State and Houston still may happen, but the Warriors upset by the Clippers, 129-121. So that series is 3-2 going back to L.A. The Rockets did finish off Utah. First round of the Stanley Cup playoffs over. Could not have been more unpredictable. The two top seeds are gone. The two teams who've won the last 3 Stanley Cups are gone. Carolina, in its first playoff in a decade, won Game 7 in Washington 4-3 in double overtime. So it's the Hurricanes that'll face the Islanders Game 1 tomorrow in Brooklyn. First round of the NFL draft tonight in Nashville. A giant question. Will they take a quarterback to at some point replace the aging Eli Manning? GM Dave Gettleman could have taken a QB last year and didn't.
We couldn't pass up on Saquon. He was the best player in the draft. You can't do that. Listen, we've had this conversation before. You know, Eli's closer to 40 than he is to 25. I think we can all do the math. You know, 40 take away 38. We can do that. But at the end of the day, we're going to take the best players.
They pick 6th and again 17th. The Jets have the 3rd pick. With the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. Nathan?
Thank you, John. 6:37 on Wall Street.
The following is an editorial from Bloomberg Opinion.
For 7 years, the Healthy Hunger-Free Kids Act got America's schools to serve children plenty of fruits, vegetables, and whole grains, and limited sugar and sodium in their lunches. These rules stood to prevent almost 2 million new cases of childhood obesity. But now Agriculture Secretary Sonny Perdue has softened the standards for whole grains and reopened the door to sweet chocolate milk and sodium-heavy cheeses. Schools need more flexibility, he said, because kids were throwing away the healthy foods. In truth, children were not discarding food any more than they ever had, and they were eating more fruits and vegetables. Purdue's changes ignore the reality that nearly 1 in 5 U.S. children are obese. Schools should continue to operate as though Purdue's changes never happened and maintain high nutritional standards regardless. This editorial was written by the Bloomberg Opinion Editorial Board. I'm David Shipley. For more Bloomberg Opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPI and go on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
Hear Bloomberg Opinion editorials every weekday at this time. 6:38 on Wall Street. We continue to follow shares of Microsoft in early trading, now up 4.9%. The software maker poised to gain $1 trillion in market share after quarterly earnings topping estimates on cloud computing business that fueled rising sales and profit. 3M shares down 7.5% in the pre-market. The company's first quarter net sales missed the lowest estimate net sales of $7.86 billion. The estimate was $8.02 billion. Now let's turn to a follow-up on some of our earlier reporting on Amazon's Alexa devices. Earlier this month, we told you how Amazon employees listen to voice recordings captured by Amazon Echo speakers in users' homes. And now we're learning more about the privacy issues surrounding that discovery. Bloomberg's Matt Day has the story.
Our first story exposed that there was a team of thousands of people out there who are listening to a small sample of Alexa user interactions. You know, the company was quick to say, you know, hey, listen, there's no way a person could be listening to a recording and be able to tie that recording back to a human being. We're learning a little bit more about how that process works. And one of the things that we found is that, you know, attached to these audio recordings, in many cases inside the company, is location data, geographic coordinates that in many cases ties back to the home address that a user either registered the device with or Amazon has otherwise derived. So at least indicating that if somebody inside of Amazon wanted to, perhaps they could pair a voice recording with at least somebody's physical address.
Well, there's no indication Amazon employees have attempted to track down individual users. Two members of the Alexa team expressed concern to Bloomberg News that the company was granting broad access to consumer data that would make it easy to identify a device's owner. And in response to the story, Amazon says its access to internal tools is highly controlled and is only granted to a limited number of employees who require the tools to train and improve service by processing an extremely small sample of interactions. Amazon policy strictly prohibits employee access to or use of consumer data for any other reason. Amazon says it has a zero tolerance policy for abuse of its systems. S&P futures down 2 points. Now Dow futures down 119. NASDAQ futures up 9 points. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Coming up to 641 on Wall Street, Joe Biden is in with a message. America is an idea. We get more from Bloomberg Washington reporter Kathleen Hunter straight ahead. Stay with us. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. It is 647 on Wall Street. We are watching Dow futures extend the losses this morning after 3M cut its forecast. We go to the first word, breaking news desk. For today's morning call, here's Bill Maloney. Bill, good morning.
And good morning, Ken. That's right. U.S. futures are under pressure after those earnings from 3M. Dow futures now down 115 points. S&P futures are down 2, while the NASDAQ futures are higher by 12. The U.S. 10-year yield at 2.52%, and Japan rose 0.5% overnight. Well, European markets are trading mixed this morning. And note that Deutsche Bank and Commerce Bank have ended their merger talks. Back in the U.S. on the economic front at 8:30, initial jobs claims and durable goods orders. And at 11 o'clock, the Kansas City Fed. After the bell last night, Facebook sales topped estimate. Shares are up 8.8% in the pre-market. Microsoft sales also topped estimates. And Tesla opened the door to a capital raise after posting a bigger-than-expected loss. Regarding those earnings this morning, 3M cut its forecast. Shares are down 8% pre-market. And look for Altria and Bristol-Myers to report around 7 a.m. Wrapping things up, General Dynamics was upgraded to neutral over at J.P. Morgan. American Express raised to overweight at Morgan Stanley. And UBS upgraded Facebook on Instagram growth and raised the price target to $240 a share. Live from the First American News Desk, I'm Bill Maloney. Karen?
All right, Bill, thank you. To hear live breaking news over your Bloomberg Times, squawk on your terminal, S-Q-U-A-W-K. And again, 3M shares are down 7.33%. In early trading, putting pressure on Dow futures this morning. But Microsoft providing a bit of a floor there. Those shares are at 5.1% in early trading. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael, good morning.
Good morning, Karen. Former Vice President Joe Biden officially entered the race for the White House this morning. Biden would be the oldest president elected if he wins at age 78. North Korean leader Kim Jong-un and Russian President Vladimir Putin have finished their talks at today's summit in Vladivostok. They discussed developing bilateral relations. In baseball, the Yankees won. The Mets lost along with the Nationals. The Red Sox won along with the Orioles, A's, and Giants. In the NHL playoffs, the Capitals lost a Game 7 double overtime thriller against the Hurricanes 4-3. Carolina now faces the Islanders on Friday. The Bruins play the Blue Jackets in Game 1 of their series tonight. NBA playoffs, the Warriors lost to the Clippers last night but still lead their series 3-2. Tonight is the first round of the NFL draft in Nashville. The Cardinals have the overall first pick, the Jets a third, the Giants are sixth and also 17th. Finally, from Daybreak on the Bloomberg, ooh, it's finally here. Avengers Endgame opens in North American theaters Friday. Oh. The culmination of more than a decade of careful world building through 21 movies lands on more screens than any film ever. The finale is already breaking records elsewhere. Disney said it grossed about $107.2 million in China, the most lucrative single day ever, and it also has a 97% fresh rating on Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah, I got to tell you, Michael, you hit my sweet spot right there. I've been watching Incredible Hulk since I was a kid. I've been following these movies for the last 10 years. Still, probably going to wait until next month to watch it. I'm not a big fan of crowds.
I'm going Friday to my family.
Are you?
Yeah, they got
good
the
for
tickets.
You.
Well,
wow.
Yeah. Okay.
You get those on the secondary market?
The Avengers. Diana Rigg. Yeah, that's what happened there.
Global those Avengers.
Yeah,
sure,
those
okay.
Avengers. Yeah. Global News, 24 hours a day on
air. Way back.
And at TikTok on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I knew something was wrong with those tickets. I'm Michael Parr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Google it in case you don't know what Michael's talking about. Thank you. We're live from the Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studio, 651 on Wall Street, going from Earth's mightiest heroes to what's happening in the nation's capital. The U.S. and Japan begin a second round of trade talks in Washington today, the U.S. and Japan trade talks. The Trump administration appears to be backing Libyan strongman Khalifa Haftar and his assault on the U.N.-supported government in Tripoli. And at least two administration officials are now defying subpoenas to appear before Democratic-led House committees. But the big news this morning, as Michael mentioned, former Vice President Joe Biden ending weeks of speculation and announcing his third run for the White House. Bloomberg Washington reporter Kathleen Hunter joins me now. And Kate, of course, the former vice president announced it with a video message posted online. And from the first two words out of the former vice president's mouth, Charlottesville, Virginia, gives you exactly the idea of who Joe Biden is aiming at in this race now starting.
That's right. So I think what we see there is that the former vice president, Joe Biden, is really trying to sort of appeal to the center and also make a case that he's someone that's uniquely positioned to sort of unify the country after things like the divisiveness that we saw in Charlottesville, Virginia, two summers ago. And so I think that's the message that we're likely to hear from Biden going forward. Certainly he's pitching his campaign towards working class voters in places like Rust Belt states that Trump edged out Hillary Clinton in 2016, and that Democrats feel strongly they need to win in order to deny Trump a second term.
I mean, it's going to be very interesting to see whether that message cuts through, how it plays with voters, given the message that, the large field of Democratic candidates so far has been pushing out, which is, pretty left of center policy prescriptions.
That's right. I mean, there's certainly a lot of energy and enthusiasm right now behind sort of the progressive wing of the party. And this is the question that really confronts Democrats as they're trying to, decide who they want at the top of the ticket, is whether they're better served by having someone who hails from that progressive wing, who can maybe energize younger voters and, voters in urban areas who might be feeling disenfranchised and apathetic to come out to the polls, or whether they want someone who might have broader appeal, someone more of the Biden kind of ilk, and which strategy is better for them heading into 2020. And I think that's really a question that Democrats are going to have to confront in the coming days and weeks, and one that they, dates back really to the 2018 midterm campaign when we saw a lot of progressives do very, very well.
Yeah, I wonder whether that sort of soul searching in the Democratic Party has already happened to some extent, given a lot of the attacks that Biden has come under even before this announcement this morning.
Well, definitely. I mean, I think that it feels as though the momentum in the party is moving leftward. And, what that spells for Biden, I think, remains to be seen. But certainly I think he's entering this race less dominant than he was once seen as likely to be entering the race. He's still the leader in early polls in primary states that are going to be key to determining who gets the nomination. But a lot of that is, attributable to the fact that he has nearly universal name recognition, which a lot of the other candidates don't have. It's also something that the margin of his lead has been eroding over the past several weeks. And so that's something, to watch closely as well. Often who we see coming into a race as the clear front runner doesn't necessarily be the one who ends up winning the nomination. I mean, we need to look no further than President Trump to prove that point. Mm-hmm. So I think that, you know, this is going to be something to watch going forward. He certainly is shaking up the race, but, you know, he's far from the clear heir apparent to the nomination.
Yeah, given those issues you've raised, it kind of begs the question whether Joe Biden may have mistimed this announcement.
Yeah, there's a lot of folks that think that perhaps he should have announced sooner. This is kind of his being out there as potentially, you know, running or not running has given people a time to attack him. We saw in late March that there were several women who came forward and said that the way that he had conducted himself around them made them feel uncomfortable. So that's an issue that he's now contending with. Sort of the conventional wisdom is that he wanted to wait until after the first quarter campaign filings were due at the end of March to declare his candidacy, because there was a sense that he didn't want to have to deal with essentially filing campaign reports that showed only partial fundraising totals, because he wouldn't have been in the race the whole time. And so his likely would have, you know, paltry fundraising totals to report, and that he was trying to avoid doing that. So it makes sense in that way to coordinate the timing in the beginning of a funding cycle. But, you know, it does have these other sort of downsides as well.
Now, one interesting note, a spokeswoman for former President Barack Obama issued a statement, and I'll read it at length. President Obama has long said that selecting Joe Biden as his running mate in 2008 was one of the best decisions he ever made. He relied on the vice president's knowledge, insight, and judgment throughout both campaigns and the entire presidency. The two forged a special bond over the last 10 years and remain close today. Former President Obama hasn't weighed in on any of the other candidates publicly, but this is not an endorsement.
Yeah, I think it's very interesting. I think it speaks really to the closeness that we know has developed between Obama and Biden. They're very, very tight. And I think that in some ways, you know, Obama has said all along, though, that he doesn't plan to endorse a nominee for the, you know, ticket in 2020. I think in some ways, Obama issuing that statement, you know, is a reflection of his, you know, actual warm personal feelings towards Joe Biden. And from a political standpoint, it kind of puts to rest, you know, the question of what Obama's going to say about Biden. He's now said it, and it sort of takes the wind out of the sails of people who might be trying to push him to go further.
And we'll be waiting for President Trump's first reaction to former Vice President Joe Biden now entering the race. Bloomberg Washington reporter Kathleen Hunter, thanks as always. You can read more about former Vice President Biden and other stories from Washington on Bloomberg.com or on the Bloomberg Terminal, and follow all the latest on Bloomberg Radio in the nation's capital, Bloomberg 99.1 and 105.7 FM HD2. Karen.
All right, Nathan, thank you. We've been watching Dow futures this morning as they extend their losses after 3M cut its forecast for the year. It also announced a realignment from 5 to 4 groups and said it expects to reduce 2,000 positions worldwide. 3M shares currently down 8.8% in early trading, and Dow futures are down 119 points. Straight ahead, it's Bloomberg Surveillance with Tom Keene and Jonathan Farrow. For Nathan Hager, I'm Karen Moscow, and this is Bloomberg.